Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Welcome to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence, and featuring Michael Santucci, co-chair of the Intellectual Property Division of the Broward Bar. From the law firm of Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell, and hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket for today's broadcast, on Monday, July 3rd, that is last week, Miami-Dade Circuit Court Judge Milton Hirsch ruled the new Stand Your Ground law is unconstitutional. Last month, Florida Governor Rick Scott signed and updated to Florida's Stand Your Ground law, amending the state's controversial law. I'd first like to welcome and introduce our legal panel host. First of all, Gary Singer, who is board certified in real estate law, also a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel, and chairs the real property section for the Broward Bar. Good afternoon, Gary.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
And Michael Santucci, who's an intellectual property law attorney and litigator, who was appointed and currently serves as co-chairman for the intellectual property law section of the Broward County Bar Association, and also who's been quoted in TV, print, internet media, in cases that has been covered worldwide by the United Press, Associated Press, New York Times, CBS, NBC News, and gosh, just to name a few. Good afternoon, Mike.
Thanks, Phil. And I keep inviting Governor Rick Scott onto our show to give us his side of the story, since we plug him so many times, and we're often very critical of his policies.
Who?
Or at least we debate them. Governor
Scott
himself.
So
I'd love to have him on the show. I'd like to have him on the show to give us his perspective firsthand.
And, of course, Gary Ostro. Gary Ostro is a criminal defense lawyer who's been defending the accused in both state and federal courts for criminal offenses ranging from homicide, manslaughter, white-collar crime offenses, drug trafficking. Gary has over 500 jury trials to his credit and focuses his practice on the Fourth Amendment issues as related to search and seizure, as well as federal civil rights cases against police officers, as well as the departments in the cities which they operate. Good afternoon, Gary.
Good afternoon, Phil.
And we have a special guest legal panel host who's been on all this week, and his name is Anthony Gonzalez. And Anthony is an attorney who's board certified in civil trial law. He's also an adjunct professor at Nova Southeastern University, Shepherd Broad School Law Center. But he's known for as an editor for Florida Bar's Professional Liability Lawyers, a host of other things. And, of course, he's with a fine firm of Carmen Beecham, Sang, and Gonzalez. You got your name there.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Phil. How you doing?
Great, great. We appreciate you hanging out. And especially because while you have 2 degrees, actually, as a BA, but also in criminal justice as well. And this has been a controversial law for quite some time, Stand Your Ground. Gary Ostro is a criminal defense attorney. What actually is Stand Your Ground? What is it supposed to do?
Stand Your Ground is a concept that is relatively new that was recently addressed by this Miami judge, but essentially it stands for the proposition that you don't have a duty to retreat from the threat of imminent harm. You can literally stand your ground and use deadly force to protect yourself in the event if the circumstances warrant it. And it's, I think it's pretty much a commonsensical scenario that applies to circumstances that vary from case to case. But essentially, that's what it is. What disturbs me about it is that it's not a jury question. It's a judge question. And judges are the ones who rule on whether somebody has the lawful ability to stand their ground and fire dead, use lethal force in standing their ground. It's a little confusing, but I think Michael defined it well before. But what it's confusing because Judge Hirsch in Miami said that it's a procedural issue because the way it should not have been legislatively amended, which
right,
it was.
It's unconstitutional.
Right, but he didn't get into the content so much about the changes which are proposed. But what it does say, in short, that the prosecutors will no longer need to prove that the defendant did not shoot in self-defense.
Yeah.
It's like a triple negative. They will no longer need to prove that the defendant did not shoot in self-defense.
Yeah.
Somebody want to say that in English? It's a little confusing,
well,
but
it starts, the way I understand it, is Governor Scott created kind of like a presumption in favor of the defendant that the defendant was acting in self-defense, and it puts the burden on the prosecution to prove that the person was not acting in self-defense. Now, I'm a civil attorney, so to me, a defense has to be affirmatively proved by a defendant. But in the criminal
right.
world, really, the state truly has all the burden.
It goes against
yeah.
the presumption
so
of innocence.
This is a tough one.
It
and
does.
This is just one judge in Miami-Dade that has declared this unconstitutional,
right.
which Gary Singer brought up an interesting
that bothers me.
Critique
but I
of
wanted,
that.
I wanted to point at
Isn't
something
Isn't that for
out.
An appellate court to say?
Yeah, that bothers
I don't know.
Me. You know, like, why are well, judges, you know, it's like this trend we're seeing now of these judges legislating from the bench, especially at the trial court level. I just don't get it. I guess they're within their powers, and that's fine, but it doesn't mean
well, he's
you know,
very
that it's the right thing
criminal
to do.
Judge
it's been a trend since 1960, maybe.
Yeah,
I would call it a trend.
No, but lately,
some judges are like that. And some are not. So
yeah, it's just, you know, that's what the legislators for. You know, they're complaining about, you know, oh, they're breaching the separation of powers. Well, now you're stopping something the legislators are
well,
doing.
Well, I wanted
doing,
to
so
tell a brief war
what?
Story about a stand your ground case I had where my client was shooting at the alleged victim who was the aggressor who allegedly came at him in her vehicle at a high rate of speed. He ran into his home, grabbed his wife's firearm. That's important because he was a convicted felon. He couldn't own a firearm. And he fired at several shots at the vehicle and didn't hit her, but he was charged with aggravated battery with a firearm and possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. And the law says you can stand your ground, but if you're in the commission of a crime during that time you're standing your ground, you can't utilize that defense. And the state's argument was, well, he's a convicted felon. He had a firearm. He possessed a firearm, so he's committing a crime, which was a very clever argument, I thought. But my position, my argument was, well, that was the whole point. He's that we're getting around what would normally be his inability to use a firearm with lethal force because his life was threatened by this person, and you can use lethal force under those circumstances. So the case ultimately went away for different reasons, but it's a pretty commonsensical thing. I just think it should be a jury question and not a judge question, whether somebody has the ability to legally use lethal force to protect themselves from what appears to be imminent harm.
Gary,
so why do you
what
think,
is the? I'm sorry. What is the procedure? Does the judge first determine whether or not to open the door
there's
and allow them to argue, stand your ground?
There's an evidentiary hearing. Pre-trial.
Gotcha.
Which, if it's granted, the case goes away. If it's denied, then you're free to go to trial and assert any other defense and argue self-defense. But the per se stand your ground defense is out the window if the court denies it.
So the judge is the gatekeeper to that defense, but
right.
you still have to argue it to the jury as a defendant
you can,
if you're allowed to?
I'm saying you can argue self-defense to any jury,
yeah.
and whether
gotcha.
The court grants
that's,
the stand
that's
your
what
ground
I figured.
Technically or not, you still have the same argument that the guy had the legal right to defend himself.
Well, this came to the forefront
but
with
the judge can cut it off.
Yeah.
Wow.
This came
well,
to the,
can, the technical
Yeah.
Our defense, which would have the case dismissed pretrial.
This came to the forefront gotcha. To the public, though, during the Zimmerman Trayvon Martin case, where they did he did get acquitted by stand your ground.
But I don't think he was acquitted on the stand your ground.
No.
That's a question for the judge. Right. That's a pretrial motion.
He got
it's not
for
a
the jury
question. The jury acquitted him because the jury believed that he was
his life was
lawfully
endangered.
Able to use lethal force because he was.
And before this amendment, because this isn't my special, but before this, before what Governor Scott did, you had to retreat all the way to your house, and there you could stand your ground. It was the castle doctrine.
Always,
right?
Always, yeah. At your house. Exactly. That's the difference where the stand your ground was. You don't have to run. And that, quite frankly, is the way it should be. You should be able to stand your ground and not have to run from a threat. Depending on where you are, of course. If you're on that person's property, it may be different. But each case is on its own merits. But that's the distinction.
Yeah, at the same time, though, I mean, there's obviously a need for these continued laws coming out because, you know, at least a lot of people feel that something's not working right in the system.
There's been a lot of controversy about this. You always read about a stand-your-ground case. There's always controversy surrounding it and the interpretation of it.
I think every state has one.
I think they do. I don't know if they're the same.
Like
they're not the same.
We should ask our token liberal. What's the hubbub? No, seriously, what's the hubbub?
I call myself the token reasonable centrist, and I think you guys are out there. You guys are out there.
Right. Said the guy with the feel the burn mug.
Here's my personal take on it. I agree with the principle of the stand your ground law, but just like anything, you know, there tend to be aberrations. There's always an unjust decision here and there that's going to get a lot
of
media attention.
Why do most liberals seem to just think it's the worst thing since, you know, state? And came back.
They're afraid it's going to be abused, number one. Some far-left liberals just, you know, would like to decrease the amount of guns in our society, or they think, you know, gun manufacturers have, you know, way too much power and influence over our government.
They need to outlaw rocks.
So anything that's in that, you know.
Those are lethal weapons.
I actually have a
National
theory.
Rock Association.
Seriously.
Should be outlawed.
And I don't that's not a far-left belief. That's a pretty centrist belief that gun manufacturers have, and big companies in general have too much influence over our government. That's a form of corruption.
How does
a form of corruption
manufacturer have any influence over it?
It's one of the strongest lobbies in our country is the NRA.
Well,
and
it should be. It's one of the founding principles.
And the right
yeah.
to bear arms
country.
is probably one of the most.
It's one of our founding principles. Yeah. You know what? I think I actually have a theory why, you know, you lefties are afraid of guns is because you secretly know that if you put them in your hands, you'll immediately lose your temper and go on a rampage. And it's a secret fear.
Some Republican.
No, you will. You're afraid that you know that if someone is vehemently against it, knows that if they get in their hands, they're going to lose their temper and use it improperly. So if it happens to them, Mr. or Mrs. Wonderful, no one else could possibly be responsible. So they know they're screwed up, so they're afraid that everyone else is as big a loser as
Mike,
them.
Mike, you want to.
I think most, and I put myself in this category, I have a pretty diverse view on guns. I have cops in my family. I'm a black belt in karate. I used to teach it. I've been in some life-threatening situations. My family members have. Anyway, I think most people.
You're a black belt
in karate? Yes, I am.
I'm a black belt in Joseph A. Banks.
Yes. Two for ones. Anyway, I think most people believe in some reasonable gun legislation. I think if you put it to somebody like this and you say, should you have the same amount of training and education and tests that you need to operate a motor vehicle than you should to have a firearm? If you put a firearm
it's
in the
not,
hands of somebody that doesn't know what they're
right.
doing
it's
or who's going to freeze up at the point of threat, that's more dangerous than if they didn't have a
but
gun.
But driving is a privilege. Owning a firearm and your right to bear arms is a constitutional right.
So there's a distinction.
You make a good
big
point.
Distinction.
It's a very legal, hyper-technical legal distinction, but you're right.
And operating a firearm technically is very simple. It's the judgment that goes along with it that's very difficult. You know,
similar to
driving a car, but driving a car mechanically is much more difficult than operating a gun.
But it's a privilege. It's not a right.
I agree with that. You're saying that too, but you know, what the part of operating a gun that where the problems come in is the judgment, right? There's nothing, maybe some people agree with me, but there's nothing inherently evil about a firearm. It's a piece of metal that does something. It's the people using it that can cause the problems. And that can be said for a hammer, a car, as we've seen with terrorist acts.
There are no mass shootings at gun shows.
So what do you need? A test to see if someone can pull a trigger?
I don't know if anyone's against more training as a sort of a proponent, I would say, of the Second Amendment. I just don't trust the government to come in and interfere with my right to have a firearm, especially in our business.
Yes.
In our business where you go to a deposition and it's a $10,000 claim. I mean, everyone's heard the stories about someone getting shot at a deposition.
Right.
Over a $10,000 claim?
I mean, I've seen more people mad over small amounts of money.
It's not the money.
It's not the money. It's the principle of it, right?
And the interest.
And if I can't go and get a firearm, if I need it in that situation, I mean, I've hired court reporters because I know they're armed.
They're armed.
The ones that are armed, I know who they are.
They advertise armed court reporters.
I had a client bring two. This was in Boca Raton, you know, the most dangerous place in Florida, right?
Yeah.
I had a client bring two bodyguards to a deposition.
Sure.
Armed.
Sure. Right. Oh.
Good.
It happens.
One stood outside the door and one sat in a chair from the table.
I set depots at the courthouse sometimes because I know they got to walk through a metal detector. I've had cases where the other side is a police officer as the plaintiff, and I've made sure that he, because I even asked the bailiff, does he have to be disarmed to come through the, you know, to give his own deposition?
Good point.
Yeah, it happens. I mean,
but my thing is, why should a government employee be able to have a gun but not a citizen?
Well, there's no difference. Of course, the Congress wants to be armed, but they want to take our arms away.
Well, now they're talking about open carry. We got to take
I like that.
We're going to come back with that issue as well.
Why not?
You're listening to Legal News and Review on 96.9, 103.9, 740 AM. They're all WSBR stations. I'd like to welcome our iHeart listeners. Tune in and iRadio Now. Wow, we cover everywhere, including the World Wide Web.
The whole web. Holy guacamole.
And we're talking about the decision in July 3rd, Miami-Dade Circuit Court Judge Milton Hirsch, who apparently Gary Astro respects very much. And this has to do about the new Stand Your Ground law that Governor Rick Scott signed into and updated Florida's Stand Your Ground law, amending the state's controversial law. It is controversial, but open permit, open carry is something we're going to talk about, and even allowing guns now on university campuses. We're going to be back.
Yeah, you should.
Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Welcome back to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Award of Excellence from the Florida Bar, featuring Michael Santucci of the law firm Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Reach them at 500law.com or 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go online to belegalbuzz.com. Once again, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
Oh, yeah, we are back. Legal News and Review. And we're talking about what transpired July 3rd, before the 4th of July, Miami-Dade Circuit Court Judge Milton Hirsch ruled the new Stand Your Ground is unconstitutional. And I have a question for adjunct professor Tony Gonzalez. And the question has, if you have a case pending and now there's a procedural change, now it's going to probably have to be appealed, what do you do? I mean, how would you advise your students when this happens?
In that situation, you just deal with it as best you can. I'll give you a prime example from the civil arena. I mean, we've had expert opinions and the qualifications of an expert opinion and being able to provide an expert opinion under the Frye standard for years. Then it switched to Daubert, which was the federal standard. And then all of a sudden you're in trial and they switch it back, you know. And what do you do? And the judges and the attorneys try to deal with it as best they can. And you just do the best that you can, because sometimes the law changes rapidly. And I'm not in the criminal arena with regard to something like this, but yeah, you just, as a practitioner of the law and you're in the trenches every day, you just try to deal with it as best you can.
I want to throw a shout out to my brother, Dr. Tom Santucci in Boca Raton, who, charged at me with a deadly weapon. It was, a fork, and he stabbed me with said fork in the shoulder.
Did you
and it went in so deep that I had to pull, pull it out myself.
Did you stand your ground?
I stood my ground in horrible pain.
It's never good when your brother forces.
Was there anywhere to retreat?
Yeah. But now all he sticks in me is acupuncture needles. So, I don't know. He might surprise me and nail me in the back with a fork again sometime when I'm in his office. But,
you know, when you're talking about gun rights, one of the things comes up, you know, is laws by, you know, what other people in the country want, passing laws through the process, elected legislator, et cetera. But you know what? There's certain rights that are given to us that are natural rights or God-given rights that are too important for men to decide on. You know, for example, it was perfectly legal, enacted by statute by our elected legislators, to own other people not that long ago in our country. And no matter what anyone says or what anyone votes for, that's wrong. That's just wrong. It's unethical. It's horrible. Right. It's immoral, et cetera. I don't care how many people vote for it or how many people want it. It's the same thing for people who try to take away your rights. And I'm not comparing slavery to gun ownership. They're very different things. But, you know, the right to be free as a person and not to be owned is a natural God-given right no matter what people vote on. The right to keep and bear arms is also a completely separate, distinct, uncomparable right that other people don't have the right to restrict for me. You know, as an American, I have to listen to my government. I can't commit crimes and et cetera. But I have my own sovereignty. It's getting late, Phil. But, and, you know, I have my natural rights that the government doesn't. I know. Thank you for not making fun of me, Gary.
That's right.
I have restraint.
That the government doesn't have. Well, we've been taping for 3 hours. That the government doesn't have the right, or my fellow man, which is really what the government does, to take away from me. And that's the right to keep and bear arms and defend myself from criminals, other people, and in certain cases, as a group, maybe not individually, from my own government.
But Gary Ostro.
Because we'd be British citizens without the
right. Can you stand your ground, Gary Ostro? If it's a police officer that comes to your door?
Interesting question. Depends on whether he's got a warrant. If he's got a warrant, no. If he doesn't, and he's trying to force his way into your home without a warrant or exigent circumstances or consent, then I would say you have an absolute right to use deadly force. Because what's his legal basis for coming into my home, which is my, as Tony pointed out, which is my castle under the Fourth Amendment? And I would argue, in any case, I would argue for the homeowner in that circumstance.
And acting under the color of authority.
In danger.
Yeah, exactly. And acting under the color of authority doesn't give you a pass.
But the majority of voters agree with reasonable regulation. We limit
the same voters that agreed with slavery.
I was silent. Can I speak?
Yes.
Okay.
But only
for 1 minute. We limit all of our rights. We let the government regulate all of our rights. There's you talked about natural rights that man's born with.
Yes.
This is a product that a manufacturer makes to make money. What's more natural than that? It's freedom
Some
of speech,
make their own
freedom
guns.
Of religion,
it's
a,
it's
or freedom
instrument.
To own this product
it's an
that you
don't
kill somebody with.
Without
I mean,
instrument that enables you to maintain your freedom and fight a tyrannical government.
But without the right to keep and bear arms, you don't have freedom of anything else.
But if you agree with a law that stops people from screaming fire in a crowded movie theater, then why wouldn't you agree with keeping guns from people on a terrorist watch list?
Who wouldn't agree with that?
Who's arguing
that? Mandatory gun safety classes before you buy one, or at least before you get a carrying
it's
permit.
It's a good idea, but it's a constitutional
on the
list.
Terrorist watch list, again, I don't – principle, it sounds fine.
I'll shoot them myself.
But the question becomes, how do you get on the list? If the government can just put you on the list and take your gun from you, and I don't trust this government.
Cat Stevens was on the terrorist watch list, and he was singing about
– they passed that law.
His trains for 30
and the next day they passed a law saying every gun owner is a terrorist.
And you know, let me just say something along those same lines. People don't know this, but if you elect to get a medical marijuana card in the state of Florida – don't think you're ever going to own a firearm.
That's right.
And that is not right.
That's not right at all.
Veterans who treat their PTSD, post-traumatic stress, and all the other conditions they get as a result of serving.
Right now,
country.
That's the law.
They
that's
want
terrible.
Medical marijuana.
Terrible.
They can't own
but
a
Gary,
firearm.
Don't you think
a veteran who put his life up for this country. I'm sorry, and it's not well known either. So
don't
that's
you think we're on a trend for that to change? That's going to change
I'm afraid this country is going into one extreme way that. I'm very afraid of, and I don't want to turn this into a...
Well, let's
you know what you call an unarmed citizen, Michael? Do you know what you call an unarmed bait, force?
What's
a unarmed
citizen? Dead meat.
A subject.
A subject. Well, that's why.
I don't
Russia,
see the world as that.
Russia,
yeah,
China,
that threatening. It's,
Russia,
every
China.
Every genocide in the
that's
in
because
you
live here and enjoy
these
rights
by disarming the public.
Right.
Every genocide, they disarm first.
Gentlemen, we're running out of time. We're running out of time, and I got to put a shout out to my friend in New Jersey, Jay Red, who by the time this show airs will have a new kidney and will
all
be
right
on his way to
hey,
recovery.
Get well, Jay, get
he's
well
going through surgery tonight. He finally got a donor. He finally found a kidney,
great,
and he's having it put in him tonight. So
well, on that note,
please
Jay,
pray for him. Pray
Jay,
for him.
Be well, and yes, listeners,
be legal.
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review, featuring Michael Santucci from the law firm of Santucci Priori, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale, and practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation. They can be reached at 500law.com or at 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to belegalbuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448 for legal news and review. Remember, be legal.
Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Do you need an attorney? Call someone you can trust. The Broward County Bar Association, a not-for-profit organization, was founded in 1925 to foster courtesy, ethics, and professionalism, as well as to provide necessary legal services throughout South Florida. The Broward County Bar Association, 3,000 members strong, has attorney members that work throughout the entire state of Florida, as well as nationally and internationally. Remember, the Broward County Bar Association is a referral you can count on. Call the Broward County Bar Association at 954-764-8310 for all your legal needs. A referral you can count on. 954-764-8310 or contact online at browardbar.org. Non-lawyer spokesperson.